You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Gym Class here at KGYM, 1600 AM all over Eastern Iowa, along with 102.3 in Cedar Rapids, the Gym OT, 107 FM, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 FM in Iowa City. We are presented by Hennings Financial. More on those good folks coming up in just a moment. Scott Unash from our studio here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, buttons across the way. Mark Dukes from his back porch in a beautiful final day of April for 2020, and 7 weeks now since basically everything has been shut down with the coronavirus and COVID-19, the fight against it. We'll see how much longer it goes, and more news out of there today as far as that fight is concerned. Good show coming up today. We're going to talk some with Andy Dirks, who is the coach of the Mount Mercy women's bowling team. And you're wondering about that. The Mount Mercy women's bowling team is very, very highly thought of around the country. And we'll tell you how highly thought of. We'll have that for you, that story coming up in just a little bit. A lot to get to as far as news and notes from the world of sports locally here today as well. And Hennings Financial, presenting sponsor of the Gym Class program each and every day right here at KGYM. They are your retirement rollover specialists, and they are focused on your retirement journey. Their specialty is helping pre-retirees and the newly retired manage their assets to produce a sustainable income. And as always, if you want to learn more, all you need to do is go to our website at kgymradio.com. And click on the banner on the left side with Hennings Financial. While you're there, also, you can worry about dinner for tonight, as some of the great local restaurants that have curbside and takeout available are listed on the website at, at kgymradio.com. And do your part to help out local here as we get into week number 8 coming up, or 7, I don't know, inclusive, whatever. I was never very good at the inclusive part of math, Mark.
Well, good afternoon, Scott, and you mentioned a beautiful day. I just took a stroll around my patio and kind of get ready for the show, get the blood flowing, and, you know, it's a very newsy day. We've got a great guest, as you mentioned, in Andy Dirks, but a lot of news, and, you know, when this whole thing started, I had people ask me, well, what are you going to talk about? And I think almost every day without fail, there's been something that comes up that we can talk about and discuss and engage our listeners. And that's very true today as well.
Yeah. And a lot of people aware probably about the Mount Mercy women's bowling team. We're going to introduce you to them coming up here in just a little bit. We are available to you on the KGYM text line, as always, at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Also, you can reach us via the phone lines at that same number, 319-366-1600. And thank you very much for listening in. Thank you very much for your interaction. We do appreciate it. And a lot to get to around here today. Fran McCaffrey with a non-video conference, if you will. I guess it wasn't a video. It was Fran talking. I couldn't see him. Anyway, talked about his Iowa men's basketball team that was left hanging along with the others as far as the 2019-2020 season is concerned. A few news and notes pieces came out with Fran today. Nothing in the transfer portal that is cooking right now. 13 on the team, and that is what they are looking at this present time. And If you are a fan of whether it was named the Amano Hawkeye Challenge, the Hawkeye Invitational, the it's been known by, seven or eight names and monikers over the years, but you will be a happy camper because it sounds like Iowa is going to be hosting once again a four-team tournament at Carver Hawkeye.
Yeah, it was mentioned a couple times today by Fran McCaffrey, and I think in these times, you know, that try to reduce travel and whatnot, I think it's a non-exempt tournament that Iowa can host. And you mentioned the roster set at 13. Luca Garza returned to campus a couple weeks ago. Fran says he has no idea what Luca's going to do, but I kind of expect that announcement to come down the pike fairly soon. And lastly, Patrick McCaffrey, Fran's son, is over 200 pounds for the first time in his life.
Yay!
That's a very good thing because I know he had trouble gaining weight after having the cancer and had the red shirt last season. And I think that's a good sign, too.
It is. A lot of good signs today coming out of Iowa City. And if you're wondering that, okay, we've played this game before with Iowa football, Mark, and the fans out there, as far as schedules are concerned, the fans, we know you want to see Alabama, Auburn, and USC come to Kinnick Stadium. I guess we can play that same game with basketball. Now, that's a whole different system, and that's apples versus oranges. The old days, I put in air quotes right now, as far as the tournament that Iowa hosted for many, many years, you let's face it, you have a patsy to bury in the first round. Iowa was, 19 for 20 or something like that? Do you remember the team that beat Iowa that one year, Mark, in the first round under George Raveling?
That would be the Anteaters from Cal Irvine.
Was it Cal Irvine? Or I was thinking Arkansas State. I don't know. Now I'm going to have to look it up.
Well, let's look it up. I thought it was Cal Irvine. I could be wrong, okay?
If you know, 319-366-1600. So you're going to get somebody you think you can beat by 20. That's the key to the whole first round. And you're going to get a team that's probably been good, is expected to be good, better in the next couple of years. You don't want to get them at their peak. That's the team you want to play in the championship game that's going to get some people's interest up, but a team that you should still beat at home. And they're going to be paired with a team that's going to be pretty close to them. That's your formula for an on-campus tournament of four teams. That's always been the recipe for that.
Yeah, and I think one difference this year, maybe, Scott, and I don't have anything to base it on other than what's being said out there among athletic directors and coaches, but I have a feeling it's going to be a more of a regional tournament. You might pluck somebody from the Missouri Valley Conference. You might get somebody from contiguous states. I don't think you're going to bring in a Cal Irvine, or you're not going to bring in a Florida Gulf Coast or teams like that. I have a feeling it's going to be more of a regional event.
And before I even got it out of my mouth, David and Hudson, the first one on the text line. How about Drake? Folks, not going to be Drake or you and I that are going to be invited to Carver Hawkeye Arena.
No, but it would be nice, wouldn't it?
Should play them every year, but I think that's water under the bridge at this particular time. 319-366-1600 if you would like to weigh in. We're working on it for 85-86. No, it was Arkansas State, Mark.
All right, I stand corrected.
December 6th, I knew. Go ahead.
We're going to count on our listeners, okay?
I found that one myself, actually. I remember the year. It was 1985. December the 6th, 1985, first round of the Amano Hawkeye Classic, 18th rated Iowa, fell to Arkansas State 66-62. The only time Iowa has lost.
Yeah, maybe Irvine took them to overtime or something like that. My recollection's vague, but I stand corrected. It won't be the last time, folks.
that was the first loss for that team that year that went to the NCAA tournament. Lost to NC State by two in the first round up at the Metrodome in Minneapolis. So there you go. 319-366-1600. I think it's good news. And like you said, who knows who Iowa's going to bring in? Is it going to be like a Western Illinois, an Eastern Illinois, Summit League schools, Missouri Valley Conference school that you know you can beat, 19 out of 20 times? I mean, that's the whole secret as far as that is concerned. So that's Fran McCaffrey today. There is more basketball news from a local angle out there, Mark. Some good news today for an Eastern Iowa native.
Yes, indeed. Steve Forbes, you were speaking of, I assume, has been hired as the head coach at Wake Forest. And he's a Lone Tree native. I remember covering him when he was at Lone Tree, and he's really paid his dues, as you know. He's going to replace Danny Manning, who had only one winning season at Wake Forest. And really, Wake Forest has been the doormats in recent years in the ACC, having only two winning seasons in the last 10 years. And but Forbes was picked from a pool. Tim Duncan, Chris Paul, Wake Forest grads on the search committee. And they tabbed Steve Forbes from East Tennessee State. He was wildly successful there. Whether he can return Wake to the glory years of maybe 20 years ago remains to be seen. I think he has a good chance at it.
Yeah, I think so too. A good basketball man, Steve Forbes, certainly. And he's from the backyard right there. East Tennessee State, of course, in Johnson City, Tennessee, way over on the far eastern panhandle and not far away from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. So Wake Forest Demon Deacon fans know of Steve Forbes. They know of the success that he has had as of late. And from all the indications anyway, a popular choice. Now, what's East Tennessee State going to do? Probably look inside their staff. We'll see how that all plays out there. But, yeah, good news. Local boy does good is always a fun story, no matter what you're going through and no matter what time of the year it is. So congratulations to Coach Forbes out there. By the way, Mark, according to the text line, we were both right on this one. Iowa did lose to UC Irvine, but not in Iowa City at the Hawkeye tournament. They lost in a tournament, I guess, at Irvine in a very high-scoring game. So there you go. We both get credit for that one.
No, I don't think so, because it wasn't in the Hawkeye Challenge or whatever it was called then. I think you tabbed it right with Arkansas State, but I guess I did identify an Irvine game that Iowa was involved in, highly scoring affair that the texter mentioned. So now I'm gonna put this one in your column, Scott.
You get partial credit though. Partial credit.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get that to you out there. 319-366-1600. Thank you, 6429, for reaching out to us. As far as that is concerned, we'll talk more about this here in just a little bit. A couple of different items as far as college athletics are concerned after we talk with Andy Dirks here in just a little bit. That'll be coming up in about 7 minutes or so. Spencer Lee, congratulations to the Iowa wrestler. Two-time national champion, just coming off his junior season, was not able to compete for a national championship, obviously. Because there was not a national championship that was held up in Minneapolis at U.S. Bank Stadium. He was the co-winner of the Sullivan Award last night, which goes out annually to the nation's top amateur athlete, and in this case, co-winners for top amateur athlete. And this is a big, big deal.
I think it's vastly been underplayed. This is an amateur athletics Heisman Trophy. And the fact that only five wrestlers, he is one of five wrestlers to win or co-win the award since 1930. Not even Dan Gable, Cale Sanderson won this award. But Spencer Lee has won it. He made a comment that, you know, he was flattered by it. He hasn't won the Olympics yet, but he plans to. I actually thought it would go to Sabrina Ionescu, the terrific Oregon women's basketball player. And Lee shares this with her. But this is an award that is truly remarkable when you think about all the amateur athletes out there, and the fact that Spencer got his season cut short, as did INSQ. That's a Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback who's coming back for another year, was also in the running. I don't think you can underplay this story.
Fifth amateur wrestlers you mentioned, Mark, to win. They've all been since 1990. The latest was Kyle Snyder, the terrific wrestler who won it in 2017. Rulon Gardner won it in 2000. Bruce Baumgartner won it in 1995. And the first wrestler to win the Sullivan was John Smith back in 1990 from Okie State. So that's pretty darn good honor. And you mentioned Dan Gable did not win this award. One of the few things that Dan Gable did not win over the years. So, oy, man, that's, like you said, that is some tremendous, tremendous company that that certainly Spencer Lee shares out there. And we'll see if hopefully he'll have a chance to win another one coming up next year.
Yeah, and you think about some of the athletes that have won this award, from Carl Lewis to Michael Phelps, Sean Johnson from over there in Des Moines, and Bill Walton, Peyton Manning, right on down the list. I can go on and on, but this is a long awarded honor back to 1930, as I mentioned, and to be in that company is quite significant.
Yeah, it is. We'll talk more about Spencer Lee coming up in just a little bit. Also, we'll talk a little bit more and get your opinions on this. A little bit surprising today from the Board of Governors of the NCAA, correct, Mark? And they talked about one-time transfers. And if you get a freebie out there, a lot of people thought it was going to be talked about and green-lighted, or at least the process anyway. And not so fast, my friends, as Lee Corso would say.
Yeah, the Board of Governors has decided to thumbs down on this issue, at least for right now, is partially citing the COVID-19 situation. But I really thought this is a great idea. You know, just a one-time transfer, you're eligible immediately. I mean, coaches can do it. Look at Steve Forbes.
Yep.
He doesn't have to sit out a year. So why shouldn't athletes be afforded the same opportunity? But apparently it's got some issues with it. The NCAA will vote on it formally in mid to late May, but it looks for now that the one-time transfer idea is at least on hold, if not dead.
Yeah, and there have been some very significant coaches that have come out against it over the past couple of weeks and months, so maybe that had some influence on what was said today. Who knows? It is not dead in the water, certainly, but a little bit of a setback as far as that is concerned. And I'm with you. I think it would have been a good ruling, and it still might go through. So we'll, you never know how it plays out.
No, you don't. But to me, for one, thought this was a surprising announcement today. I expected to be voted on as such in May. Maybe it will be revisited a year or two down the road. But I just think it's kind of unfair to athletes.
Yeah, true, especially when your coach or assistant coach can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. David in Hudson, he continues to try to set the field for the Hawkeye Invitational. Can they bring Evansville in? Isn't there some tie there? That's probably not going to happen either.
I don't know if Todd Licklider would agree to that.
No.
He being the Evansville head coach right now.
I think that's probably, I wouldn't hold my breath on that one, David.
I could be surprised, but yeah.
Yeah. I just don't see, I don't think it will be their first phone call. Let's just put it that way. Probably not going to be the first phone call out there. 319-366-1600. We'll talk about the NCAA, your thoughts about the transfer situation. Spencer Lee winning the Sullivan Award as well, and more on Fran McCaffrey coming up in just a little bit. But we're going to take a break, come back at 3:22, and we're going to talk some bowling, Mark, because why not? We're going to find out about one of the great programs in women's bowling in the country, in collegiate bowling.
Yeah, and it's right here in town. I'm looking forward to talking with a fellow member of the Adult Evergreen League, which is we lost our a month of the season. But we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a terrific program that really had a chance to win a national title.
Yeah, and we're going to do that when we return. You're listening to The Gym Class, 1600 AM, along with the Gym OT, 107.5 FM, 102.3 FM, and 106.3 FM in Iowa City. Thanks for joining us, and we are presented by Hennings Financial. Back with more after this.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not.
No Little League
Hennings
World
Financial
Series either.
Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
During the COVID-19 pandemic, Iowa Law prohibits price gouging. It is illegal to charge excessive prices for goods and services needed by disaster victims. This applies to items sold in stores, on social media, or online. Iowa Attorney General Tom Miller will pursue price gouging complaints, and businesses or individuals found in violation could face penalties of up to $40,000. Report price gouging at iowaattorneygeneral.gov or 888-777-4590. Furnished by the Iowa Broadcasters Association.
During these challenging times, we join the entire industry in our concern for the health and well-being of people everywhere. And our commitment is stronger than ever. To those affected by the pandemic, our hearts are with you. To our nation's healthcare workers, we are deeply grateful. To our customers, we are eager to help you put food and essentials on families' tables. With care and perseverance, the women and men of Red Star and BioSpringer by Lasoff.
Economic stimulus payments will be hitting your bank account soon. In fact, nearly $200 million will be coming to area households. You might need that money for rent, mortgage, utilities, even food. But if you don't, KGYM encourages you to think of the thousands of local businesses being impacted right now. Waiting to spend those dollars at your favorite place when we're all on the move again? That'll be a huge boost for them and our economy. If you don't need it for necessities, save your stimulus and shop locally. It could mean millions of dollars for the corridor.
Texting while driving is a very dangerous form of distracted driving. Drivers who use handheld devices while driving are four times as likely to get into crashes that can injure themselves or others. Drivers of all ages simply don't realize the dangers that are posed when they take their eyes and minds off the road. Everyone needs to do their part. Help save lives. Don't text and drive. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
Tune into The Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brammelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Back with you at 3:26 in The Gym Class here at KGYM, 1600 AM, along with 102.3, 107.5 FM, The Gym OT, all in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 in Iowa City. Scott and Mark with you. Buttons on the other side of the glass here today as we take you through this Thursday. We'll let you know about our topic that we will talk about for Friday's edition of The Gym Class, presented by Hennings Financial. We'll do that coming up here in just a little bit. And a couple other news and notes from the day that we will talk about as well. And we bring in our next guest, who is no stranger to us anyway, Mark, and does a great job with the Mount Mercy Women's Bowling Team. And that is Andy Dirks, also proud member of the Adult Evergreen League, as Mark says. And indeed. And how you doing, Andy?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys?
Well, we wish we had the final 5 weeks of bowling, but other than that, I think we're doing good.
I wish I had the final 5 weeks of the pro shop as well.
A lot of things. And the season and everything else that's been taken away. But we're all in the same boat, and hopefully we look forward to bigger and better things coming up for next season as far as bowling is concerned.
Definitely. I think we're the Mount Mercy program specifically is on a path to greater things. It's really disappointing that this year was taken away, but I do think the future is very bright for us on the men's and women's side.
Andy, your team, by my count, was either first or second in 13 tournaments or events that you played, and you were just getting poised to play in the sectionals in Addison, Illinois. And then what happened?
Well, kind of what happened everywhere. We started to see, you know, NCAA had just canceled their tournament the day before after first talking about going to no fans and all those other adjustments. There was a lot of news in college bowling that several schools were not going to allow their players or their teams to travel to sectionals because of the recent events and COVID-19. And literally the day before we were going to leave to go to sectionals, we were canceled. Actually, just a couple hours before we were going to catch the bus. So that's how we found out it. They did a press release about noon, 12:30 on Friday, and we were going to leave about 3:30 to head to Addison. Mm. Or Thursday, I guess it was.
Right. And a tough way to finish the season, a season that really had not only so much promise, but fulfilled a lot of that promise. And, you know, a chance to win possibly even a national championship. Those were the goals, I would imagine, for the Mustangs.
Yeah, they were the goals. They're always the goals, but I really think we were poised to make a run at it. The women this year were stellar. We had a phenomenal season with great leadership, top to bottom. I thought we had a really well-rounded team. We had obviously some stars that stood out, and Cassidy Corey, Sydney Urban, and Ira Aminuddin from Malaysia. They all were All-Americans this year. Ira was Rookie of the Year and First Team All-American, and the other two were all honorable mentions. But that doesn't really speak true to the depth that the team has. Everybody on the team played a key role at one time or another, and we really had a well-rounded, deep team that was fun to compete with, and nobody really intimidated them. They were out there to win and had a chance every single time they were on the lanes.
Andy, you were going to enter the postseason on a tremendous high. Just about a month prior, you won a tournament in Indianapolis, beating 63 other teams. Let us know about that.
Well, yeah, that's the Hoosier Classic. And next to a national championship, that's probably the most coveted prize in college bowling because not only of the size, but the prestige of the event. It's humongous. It also has some of the most challenging lane conditions that we face all year. Nick Hoagland runs the tournament, longtime contributor to bowling and lane pattern design. And he puts out some really tough stuff. So for us to come out on top, not only did we win the match play portion finals of the tournament against the best teams in college bowling, but we also led the tournament. So leading, and to put that into perspective, that's we bowl six games of traditional games like you would bowl in league where all five players are added up for a total pin score on Saturday. And then we bowl 15 Baker games on Sunday, and that seeds the bracket of the top eight. And then you have to run through the back bracket to get a championship. So it's an incredibly long, grueling weekend on really incredibly difficult lane conditions against incredibly talented teams.
Yeah, and you guys, Mount Mercy University here in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, going up against some big-time powers as far as bowling is concerned, the Wichita States and people like that. You're not backing down from those much bigger schools, though.
Oh, definitely not. Bowling is unique in that all sizes of schools can be competitive and put the right tools together and have the right support from the institution. So Wichita, obviously, has been a perennial powerhouse forever, since the 70s, and they have 20 national titles to their credit. They obviously made finals at the Wichita, like people pretty much expect them to. They were knocked out in early round, actually. So So we finished in total ranking just right behind Wichita, just by barely a few points. We had a very similar season. We won the same number of events, essentially. One or two of their events might have had a few more teams, so they got more points for that event. But our seasons were very parallel. It could have been either way on who was one or two the whole season.
Andy, you talk about Baker games, and I know what that means, but I think listeners don't really probably understand that, most of them anyway. And explain what a Baker game is and why it is part of collegiate bowling.
Well, Baker game is a true way to create a team sport out of an individual sport, or at least what people perceive as traditionally an individual sport. So what Baker bowling does is we have our lineup of five players, and player one will bowl frame 1 and 6. Player two will bowl frames 2 and 7. Three will bowl 3 and 8. Four bowls 4 and 9. And then five bowls the 5th frame and the 10th frame. So they would be your anchor bowler. And the reason that college bowling and even high school bowling in most states embraces Baker bowling is because of that team aspect. You can't really have one star pile on the pins. They only have 2 frames a game to contribute to the total team score. So all of postseason in college bowling from a team standpoint is in Baker format.
And you all got to be on. It's the ultimate team game in amongst a team game, really, as far as the Baker game is concerned. Andy Dirks joining us here from Mount Mercy Women's Bowling on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. And bowling is it's fairly new as far as Mount Mercy is concerned. It's been around a while, but not 60 years or anything like that, certainly. How do you go about, we have bowling now in Iowa high schools, obviously, which helps as far as recruiting is concerned, but how do you go around finding the roster that you can put out there for Mount Mercy?
One of the greatest benefits that we have is bowling is a fairly close-knit community, so you can make a lot of contacts, and I've been involved in youth bowling and in the bowling industry for a long time before I was a college coach at Mount Mercy. So I already had a lot of contacts in the industry, but we also have a gigantic youth tournament every year, which unfortunately was also canceled this summer. It's called Junior Gold Championships. And about 4,000 bowlers from all over the U.S. converge in one city every summer for a couple weeks. There's some collegiate expos prior to that, sponsored by TurboTech. There are trade show tables at registration where colleges can be there and set up and talk about their university and meet a lot of contacts. But then there's also an extremely prestigious youth bowling event that occurs to narrow that field down to top 16 and finals, and then a TV show for the championship. And so that's a great opportunity. The competitive side of youth bowling is actually thriving at a very high level, and has been for the last 10 years or so. And that's also, we've seen the growth in high school bowling and college bowling as a result.
Andy, I want to do two things. Number one, join with Scott in congratulating you as being named the National Collegiate Bowling Coaches Association Coach of the Year. Tremendous honor. I know you relish that. But also, you had three bowlers get postseason honors, and I'm intrigued with this bowler from Malaysia.
Ira is an incredible athlete. I mean, all of our athletes are great. But, yeah, she came to us through some mutual contacts. So NCAA competes directly with us, or at least a lot of the NCAA schools dual affiliate. But they have different recruiting rules. So it's kind of a unique story how we were able to connect with Ira. So she reached out to an NCAA school, but she's a little bit non-traditional. She was out of high school for a couple of years. So NCAA was going to start charging her seasons of competition, where USBC doesn't do that just because you came to school a little bit late. So she was able to bowl for us for 4 years. He was a good friend of mine and respects me as a coach and our program. So he sent her information to us. And she happened to know our graduate assistant already, Tanya Ramanpour from Indonesia. And she's a PWBA star. So we had kind of an immediate connection and was able to work out and recruit her to come out to Iowa. And she's been an incredible asset to the team. She's a great student. She's a phenomenal athlete, obviously, being Rookie of the Year. And then also a first-team All-American. She was also the IBMA, which is our Media Association, Bowler of the Year runner-up. Just had an incredible season. She posted 7 all-tournament teams this year. Never finished lower than 25th. And to put that into perspective, our average field size for the season for women was 198 bowlers. Mm. And she was never outside of 25.
Great, great year right there. And, of course, you guys have to have a good facility, and May City really fills that bill nicely, I know, and that's where you guys do all your training.
They are phenomenal to work with and huge supporters of the program. Tom and Elizabeth Turchka are the owners, and Elizabeth actually is a Mount Mercy alumni, and their daughter Tara graduated a few years and bowled for us as well. So there's a deep connection with the family. They're just been incredible. We wouldn't be successful at all without the contributions of May City Bowl, for sure.
Andy, I know Scott asked you about assembling the roster and recruiting. I know Mount Mercy, as an NAI school, gives some scholarships. Are you afforded that same luxury?
Yes, we're treated like every other sport on campus when it comes to scholarships and recruiting availability.
And it really helps. And you didn't have to go to Malaysia, though, to go recruit, though. So that helped out the budget a little bit.
It definitely does. I do also coach for Team USA, however, so I have some international contacts through coaching with Team USA as well. So that has certainly helped our recruiting process significantly. Some of the trips I can take to other places are doing Team USA work, but it also helps me meet people from other parts of the world.
You're kind of a robbed of a shot of a national title this year. Does it look promising next year?
I think it does. We lose 2 great players in Riley Blood and Kayla Stammer. Riley was a Prairie standout and an Iowa State champion when she was bowling here, and Kayla's from South Dakota. But there are only 2 seniors that we lose this year. So, and we have some great reloads coming in as freshmen. We have 4 young ladies from Illinois that have signed, a great young lady from Nebraska. So we really have strong promise to just reload rather than rebuild.
Yeah, and that's the key. And you got a big roster, too. You got a lot of people to choose from.
We do. So another unique thing about bowling is there's junior varsity opportunities in almost every event. So we can actually take larger rosters, up to 3 teams to an event, and get some people some playing time and experience, develop their games so they can sort of work while they wait as we have that top 8 selected when we get into our postseason rosters.
Mm-hmm. Andy, I wanted to ask you about the future of bowling, at least in the near term. I know you're heavily invested as running the pro shop at May City, but what's bowling going to look like when it does return?
I think a lot of that's going to depend on public safety feelings, how people feel about going to bowling. I know that May City specifically is doing a lot of measures to try to mitigate some safety concerns. We are going to be disinfecting every house ball before and after every use. We've already disinfected shoes for a long time. We have always had a very clean center, but we're going to be installing hand sanitizer stations throughout the building in a lot of places. There's probably going to be some shields at the snack bar and possibly the front counter. What we don't really know is if there's going to be any regulations as far as how far people can be apart for a while, if we can only use every other lane, or if teams can even come together if they're not families. That's what we really don't know, and that's all kind of in the air. So there's a lot of things that we're still learning. We're still evaluating and researching to make sure that we do the right things for our customers. And obviously, we want the sport to return as fast as possible, but in a safe manner.
Very much so. Very much so. And you got a great assistant group as well. We know a few of those good folks anyway, and it's a very good group.
Yeah, our assistant coaching staff is phenomenal. We have Dylan Werner, who's from Manchester, Iowa, actually, and bowled for Clark. But then if you guys watch any of the PWBA events, Tanya Ramanpour, our graduate assistant, is a superstar. She led the U.S. Open this year and unfortunately had a heartbreaking stone 7 pin, where a pin just hopped right over it in the final match to lose to be runner-up at the U.S. Open this year. And also has made three Queens telecasts in her career as well. So really phenomenal player that adds to the team. And then other Mount Mercy alumni have helped out. Tara Turchka actually helped with an event this year. And then Kendra Bolinski, who was a Muscatine standout and a former Mount Mercy player, has helped our team this year as well.
Yep, good people right there.
Can't forget about our good friend Virg Servney either.
Yeah, Virgil, Virgil is a legend in bowling, and he is at almost every practice. He struggled a little bit with health recently, so he hasn't been able to be with us as much as he would like to. He used to travel with us to every event as well. But his mind is as sharp as it's ever been. He's got one of the best coach's eyes I've ever worked with. He's taught me a lot over the years. And, of course, still doing great things with Jefferson High School as well.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Andy, I want to ask you one more thing, and then I'm done. What is the role, your biggest role as a coach? Is it fundamentals? Is it helping figure out the lane patterns? All the above? What do you think, you know, going into an event or going into a practice, what your main role is?
I think that is compartmentalized a little bit, actually. I would believe that at the beginning of the year, we focus huge amount of time on fundamentals and physical game. And I think it also depends a little bit on the player as well. Some players are a little bit more advanced when they come in and need a little bit less physical game development, and we'll focus a little bit more on knowledge and technology and mental game aspects of things. But once we get to competition, our primary role as coaches is managing lane play, managing the lineups during competition, and strategy to follow the transition correctly. The days are really long compared to what maybe people are used to in bowling. We're on the lanes for usually 7 to 8 hours a day, and they transition a lot. We'll very often start, if you know kind of the layout of a bowling lane, we might start outside of the first arrow or very close to the gutter. And by the end of the day, we are throwing the ball across the fourth or the fifth arrow and standing in the left gutter to make that happen. So because the oil just gets depleted as the day goes on. So in competition, the coach's role is very different from our practice coach or developing coach.
Well, we will call you over the first Wednesday, hopefully in September after Labor Day, and ask you to break down the oil pattern of our lane as we open Evergreen League play.
Well, the beautiful part of league bowling is we do everything we can to make it fun and easy. So the recreational shots that we put out for league are not quite as brutal as what our college bowlers have to face every week.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, just take it easy on us the next time we're opposing one another. Okay?
We definitely, I'll try to. I don't get to compete that much anymore, so I feel like I take it easy on everybody lately.
Well, Andy, hey, thank you for the time and introducing everyone to a terrific program you guys have put together over at Mount Mercy. Keep up the great work, and hope to see everybody in the lanes very, very soon.
Thank you very much for having me, and thanks for focusing on the sport for a little bit. I really very much appreciate having the shout-out and the opportunity to talk about it a little bit.
All right. Thanks, Andy. See you soon.
Yep.
Andy Dirks joining us, the head bowling coach for the Mount Mercy women. And they had a chance, real good chance, to win a national championship. And this is not only NAIA. I mean, this is everyone is put together as far as the melting pot is concerned. This is Division I schools, a lot of Division I schools, Division II, some Division III, NAIA, all thrown together into this organization. And Mount Mercy had a real shot to win this thing.
Yeah, I think it has a good shot again next year, as Andy outlined, losing only two seniors. And I think it's terrific that bowling has come into, you know, the lens, so to speak. Mount Mercy, I know William Penn has a terrific program and has gotten a couple recruits out of the metro area and other schools in Iowa are as well. It's a great opportunity for young bowlers.
Yes, it is. Yeah, and not just because Mark and I are bowlers, but it's just it's a good opportunity out there. All right, we'll take a break. Come back at 3:48 and more of the Gym Class on this Thursday, right after this, here on KGYM.
Being isolated from those you care about can be hard. Now, more than ever, you may want support. Turn to Your Life Iowa. We can help you through any challenge you may be facing with mental health, suicidal thoughts, alcohol, drugs.
What do you think? Have you done any thoughts about our topic for tomorrow?
Call, text, or chat with us online 24/7. Start at yourlifeiowa.org, where your everyday life support. Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Health.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. They can help save lives by not having play dates. That's
no,
right.
I think that's actually pretty good with
virtual play
dates, you know, the announcement
chats,
that the PGA and now NASCAR is coming back.
And if
you know, which ones do you feel
do
good
go
at?
Outside, make sure they continue
which could get
their
a discussion going about in a positive
way. By
staying
6 feet away from others to protect everyone in
yeah,
America land. Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Geico presents... Oh, not again. Another voicemail from your roommate.
Hey, man, so I was in a rush to get to work and I left the back door open. Could you shut it? I left it wide open. While you're there, could you also turn off the oven? And all of the burners. My mom never let me use the oven. I wonder why.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected, like if it's your roommate's first time operating an oven. Visit geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
The Last Dance, a 10-part documentary series on the Chicago Bulls dynasty of the 90s. Tune in Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Immediately following the broadcast, check out
yes.
Jalen and Jacoby, The After Show, presented by AT&T for episode reaction. Available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Now, when you buy a new device, AT&T is offering fast, free, no-contact delivery and curbside pickup, along with a flexible return policy so that online shopping is as simple and safe as possible. Visit att.com to learn more. Subject to change, restrictions apply.
Okay, you know how it feels when you've saved enough for that long-awaited home addition? Now imagine an addition on that addition.
Whoa.
That's the feeling with Capital One, where a new savings account earns an interest rate 5 times the national average. That's right, 5 times, as represented by 5 times more singers. This is banking reimagined. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Rate comparison based on FDIC national rate. Capital One NA member FDIC.
It's time for some straight talk. The big wireless carriers try to wow you with big deals, but the savings are very little. With Straight Talk Wireless, you get the exact same network as the big guys while saving up to 50%. Right now, you can get the unlimited plan with up to 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month. No contract, no mystery fees, all with nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable networks. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
We are back in the gym class here on a Thursday on KGYM at 3:51. We'll give you our Friday topic for discussion tomorrow. We'll do that coming up here in just a little bit. Thanks to, we have comings and goings here in the sports world on the 7-week anniversary of pretty much all of the sports world and for the most part, all of our normal everyday life being turned around by the fight against COVID-19 and the coronavirus. I always ask, do you want to hear the bad news or the good news first? And inevitably, Mark, people say the bad news. So I'm going to go with the bad news first. There will not be a Little League World Series this year in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For good or for...
Wait a minute. That's the good news, isn't it?
Yeah, for good or for bad, depending on... Well, I say this. I think it's great for the kids. I have never said it is bad for the competitors. What I think you and I are both alluding to, Mark, is the fact I don't think we need this on worldwide television. that has always been a little bit of a sticking point. But now ESPN has about a 3-week window where they have nothing. We're gonna see more virtual Kentucky Derbies, perhaps, at that point. I don't know. That's a whole different thing. If you haven't been following that, they're going to have a virtual Kentucky Derby with former winners going at it. Don't ask me how they're going to do that, but that is the plan anyway. And is Secretariat not going to win all these races?
Yeah, that's a whole different animal, and I'm not sure how that's going to work. But as far as the Little League World Series goes, I've made my opinions known. I think it's overblown. I don't think it's not real baseball. I think it has much to do with, teams going to Williamsport from all over the country and all over the world. And I, for one, am not going to miss it.
So that is gone. Back, though, we mentioned, UFC is going to be back coming up. That'll be the first, I guess, quote-unquote, major sport to come back. I am not a UFC fan, but there are people out there who are, and that's great for those folks out there. PGA is coming back in mid-June, about the same time that IndyCar is also going to make their reappearance. NASCAR coming out today, and they have made the announcement that starting on Sunday, May the 17th, NASCAR is going to be back. No fans are going to be allowed at the events that will take place between May 17th and May 27th. A very vigorous and aggressive schedule that NASCAR has put out there. May 17th, it will be a 400-mile race at Darlington, a cup race. Xfinity race will be on Tuesday, May 19th. That will be at Darlington, Wednesday, May the 20th. Another cup race. And this is the way it's going to be for NASCAR. They want to get every one of their scheduled races in. It might not be at that facility, but they are going to have, at least in theory, the same number of races. And they're going to have some midweek races that will go off on Fox or FS1. And it's going to be interesting to see what the TV ratings are going to be. I think they're going to be very good, even if you're not a fan of racing, but you want to see something as far as sports are concerned. But they're going to have some cup races. May 24th, the Coca-Cola 600 is going to be at Charlotte. Xfinity race on May the 25th, a Monday, a Truck Series race on May 26th at Charlotte, and another cup race on May the 27th at Charlotte. So Charlotte and Darlington will be the two epicenters, if you will. North Carolina and South Carolina have written off on these NASCAR races without fans in the stands to come back. So I guess that's good news, right?
Well, I think so. I think, there's going to be critics out there. No matter if you return in May, June, July, whatever month it may be, you're going to have your critics out there. But who knows how it's going to all work. Be a failure or a success until you do it. And I hope it isn't the case, but I'm pretty sure there's going to be an infection somewhere down the road at some event, but hopefully it's not widespread. And, I guess my feeling is you don't know how it's going to go until you actually try it, and you can always back off. And we'll see how NASCAR does, how golf does, and the various other folks that are going to return in some form or another.
Yeah. On the text line, Anthony and Marion, on the plus side, you won't miss much of the crowd noises from NASCAR from how loud the cars are. That is true. Golf's going to be a little bit very strange to watch on television the first round. At Colonial in Fort Worth is going to be a very interesting. It's going to be a very college-like experience. So we'll see how that all plays out. And racing's going to get started in Iowa coming up. Tipton has announced they are going to have a race coming up this weekend. No fans in the stands. That will be this Saturday at Tipton. The next week, Knoxville is going to have a nationally sanctioned race. And the following week, Boone is going to have a nationally sanctioned race. None of those will have fans in the stands, though. And they will have also other precautions out there. We need to get the folks acclimated to what we're going to talk about tomorrow. And we'll take a short break, come back, and let you know our Friday topic after this.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. But now you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to pee at night,
less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free. Call 1-800-394-4915. Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now. Call 1-800-394-4915. Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer. Call 1-800-394-4915. 1-800-394-4915.
Back in the gym class, about a minute and a half remaining on the show here today. And Mark sets up our Friday edition of the program coming up. And
yeah.
Go ahead.
We're going to ask you and everyone out there, what sporting events would you most be comfortable returning to as a fan? And would it be high school baseball or softball? Would it be Major League Baseball? Would it be you're going to wait till the fall in high school and college football, whatnot? Which one would you be most be comfortable in returning to? And by the way, Scott, as you know, Monday we're going to have Darren Lewis on the show.
Yep.
He started a movement on Facebook called hashtag Let Them Play, which has gained tremendous teeth across the state.
As far as baseball and softball, now,
right.
And we will talk with Darren about the steps that are going to have to be taken if we get baseball and softball back in whatever shape or form and however long it's going to be. And we're going to do that coming up on Monday as we look positively into trying to get some sports back. I mean, we're not going to be the ones that do it. Obviously, we're going to have everything on all our ducks in a row to have it, but we will talk with Darren coming up on Monday. So what sporting events are you apt to go back to once we get the okay? That'll be our Friday topic tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Have a good night, Mark.
You as well.
All right, Todd and Alex are next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.